expect Dylan would be home until late again, and she was grateful to have the place to herself. She didn't feel like talking to anyone. After a good nap and a hot shower, she'd call her mother and sisters and commiserate. And then she'd think about what to do next. At least she did have a little time and income. Her severance package included 3 months of salary. When Kate reached their apartment, a wave of exhaustion rolled over her, and she suddenly felt bone-tired and ready to drop into bed. She also felt another wave of tears brewing. She was an emotional hot mess. She turned the key in the lock and stepped inside, and then stopped short as she heard a sound. She thought her ears were playing tricks on her, but then she heard it again. Soft laughter. And it was coming from their bedroom. Kate quietly dropped her bag on a kitchen chair and slowly moved across the room. The bedroom door was ajar, and when she reached it, she heard the laughter again and saw Ellie's long blonde hair tickling Dylan's naked chest as she sat straddled on top of him. A sound escaped Kate's throat, some kind of strangled cry she didn't even realize she'd made. But Ellie heard it and turned to see Kate in the door. Dylan turned too and then pushed Ellie to the side and flew out of the bed and came rushing over to her. But instead of immediately apologizing, his first words were,
"What are you doing here?"
"I live here!"
Kate found her voice and screamed,
"What is she doing here?"
She pointed at Ellie, who was scrambling to pull her clothes on. A moment later, Ellie slid by them and disappeared out the front door. Kate looked back at Dylan, who was raking his hand through his long, tousled hair. She looked at the rumpled bed and the ripped condom package on the nightstand.
"How could you?"
she said.
"It just happened. It didn't mean anything, I swear it."
"How long has this been going on?"
Now Kate understood the cold look Ellie had given her. Kate was in the way, but not anymore. It was what she'd been afraid of all along.
"Not long. It's meaningless, these models. They just throw themselves at me. It doesn't mean anything."
"And you do nothing to encourage it?" "Right, Dylan. I'm done."
"What do you mean? And what are you doing home at this time? Is everything all right?"
He put his hand on her shoulder and she flinched and took a step back. His touch repulsed her now, and she knew that she'd never be able to trust him again. She slid her engagement ring off and handed it to him, but he wouldn't take it.
"Don't do this. I promise it won't happen again."
"No, it won't."
When he didn't take the ring, she set it on the kitchen table and went to get her biggest suitcase. 2 hours later, everything she'd brought to Dylan's was packed in either her suitcase or several large boxes. She had the place to herself as Dylan had finally realized she was serious when she asked him to please leave for a few hours to let her get her stuff together in peace. As soon as he left, she called her mother, who answered on the first ring.
"Hi, honey. Is everything all right?"
Kate rarely called her mother during working hours.
"I've been better."
She told her briefly about losing her job and that she and Dylan had broken up, but she didn't go into the details on what she'd walked into. That was a conversation for another time, over wine, with her mother and sisters.
"Just come here, honey. Stay as long as you like. If you hurry, you can catch the 5 o'clock fast ferry."
There was no way Kate was going to miss that boat.
"Love you, Mom. See you soon."
Kate dropped her 3 boxes of stuff at the local UPS store, which was just a few blocks away. She had everything shipped to her mother's house, and then only had to bring her large suitcase and carry on with her. She decided against taking the ferry, which would have meant a bus ride to Hyannis first, and instead splurged on an Uber to Logan Airport and a direct flight to Nantucket. She'd thought she was handling everything well, but once they were airborne and she looked out the window and saw the tangled mess that was Boston's twisting streets below, she felt the tears come again, fast and furious. She managed to find a half-used tissue in her coat pocket to staunch the flow of tears and kept her face turned to the window so the other 8 passengers on the tiny plane wouldn't notice. Fortunately, the flight was a quick one, and they were soon landing at Nantucket Airport. Kate had to fight tears back when she stepped off the plane and smelled the fresh island air. Everything seemed to be triggering her emotions. She'd only taken a few steps when she heard a vaguely familiar voice right behind her.
Kate Hodges, is that you?
She turned and was surprised to see Jack Tretell.
Jack, it's been a long time. Were we on the same plane?
She hadn't taken any notice of the other passengers.
It seems that we were. I didn't notice until just now, though. I was sitting a few rows behind you. It's good to see you. Are you home for the holidays?
Kate hesitated and then smiled. Yes, for a long Christmas vacation. Same for you?
Oh, I live year-round on the island. I was just visiting my father at Mass General. He had heart surgery.
I hope he's all right.
Kate remembered Jack's father as a big, strong man, a scallop fisherman.
He will be. He's in one of the best hospitals in the country. They did his surgery robotically, so instead of several months to recuperate, he'll be up and around in 3 weeks.
That's good news. Are you still working with him?
Kate remembered that Jack worked with his father during their high school years. She hadn't run into Jack much after that. It had been years since she'd seen him.
I am. He retired a few years ago, actually, and I've grown the business a bit since then.
He spoke modestly, but Kate remembered that Jack had always done well in school, and she had a feeling his business was doing quite well. She was happy for him.
That's great. You're lucky being able to stay here year-round.
You live in Boston, though, if I remember. That must be fun, too.
Jack smiled as they walked into the baggage area and waited for their luggage to be brought in.
It can be, but there's no place like home, she said wistfully.
When she'd graduated from Boston College, it had been a given that she'd search for work in the Boston area, as that's where all the big newspapers and magazines were. She'd worked at the Nantucket paper one summer, but there were rarely any full-time openings, as no one ever left.
Jack!
They both turned to see a pretty blonde woman walking toward them. She looked familiar, too, as she wrapped her arms around Jack's neck and gave him a kiss. She had stick-straight, shoulder-length blonde hair, blue eyes, and was a size 2, maybe even a 0. Sissy Anderson looked like she'd hardly aged since high school. She'd been a year behind Kate and Jack.
Sissy, you remember Kate Hodges? She was on the plane with me, coming home for the holidays.
Sissy smiled.
Your sister is the artist, right? I see her painting down by the pier sometimes.
Yes, that's Kristen. She always liked that spot. Kate spotted her bags and grabbed the carry-on first. She turned to get the big suitcase, but Jack had already lifted it down for her.
It was great to see you, Kate. Say hello to your family, and Merry Christmas.
Kate smiled as Jack and Sissy walked off. Sissy was chattering as Jack looked amused. It had been nice to see familiar faces.
Kate!
Her mother had arrived and pulled her in for a tight hug. Kate felt the tears threaten to come again, but fought them back.
I'm sorry I wasn't here when you landed, honey. I got stuck in traffic behind a school bus.
Kate laughed. No problem. We just got here and I was chatting with Jack Tretell. You remember him?
Of course. Didn't his father just have a heart attack? I hope he's okay.
Jack was just visiting him in Boston at MGH. He said his surgery went well.
Oh, that's good. Well, let's get you home, shall we?
Kate's mother chatted all the way home, filling her in on all the island gossip, which meant Kate just had to listen and nod, which was perfect. She wasn't ready to talk about what happened with Dylan just yet. When they pulled into their driveway, she noticed that something was different.
Did you paint the house?
It looked cleaner, fresher somehow.
Just the trim. It was peeling in spots, and that cleaned it right up.
Well, it looks great. You made that wreath on the front door, I bet. Her mother smiled. Yes, I'm particularly proud of that one. Everything came from our beach. Kate got her luggage out of the car, and her mother grabbed her carry-on. As they reached the front door, she said, I made a few changes inside, too. Her mother unlocked the door and stepped inside. Kate followed her in and stopped short. What is this? They were standing in the front hall, with the dining room to their right, the stairs to the second floor in front of them, and on their left, where the entrance to the living room used to be, there was now a wall and a door. It's an experiment of sorts. Come in and have a cup of tea, and I'll fill you in. Oh, and everyone is coming for dinner tonight. They can't wait to see you, and except for Chase, they haven't seen these changes yet either. An hour later, Lisa pulled a tray of her children's favorite appetizer, sausage stuffed mushrooms, out of the oven. She'd also made the cheesy taco dip that Abby loved and had Kristen's favorite, chilled shrimp cocktail. Chase already approved of her plan, but she'd made his childhood favorite too, because she knew they all loved the tiny hot dogs wrapped in puff pastry. She had beer and Chardonnay in the fridge and an open bottle of Cabernet on the counter. They should all be arriving any moment. I'm ready for a glass of red. What can I pour for you, Mom? Kate asked. I'll have red too. Kate had taken the news relatively well. She was always the sensible one, her oldest child, even if it was just by a minute over her sister. Like Chase, she'd been shocked to learn the truth about the family finances. Lisa suspected that there was quite a bit more to Kate's story about her breakup with Dylan, but Lisa knew Kate was still dealing with losing her job, too, and she didn't want to push her. She'd open up when she was ready. And Lisa was sorry that her daughter was hurting, but she wasn't sorry that the relationship had ended. She'd met Dylan once and hadn't been impressed. She understood why Kate was drawn to him. He was the typical beautiful bad boy that was impossible to resist. Lisa had known someone like that once, and she'd been tempted, but had resisted. She'd somehow known, even at a young age, that it would go nowhere good. Lisa settled onto one of the chairs around the island and reached for a shrimp and dunked it into a bowl of cocktail sauce. Kate was perched on another chair and was dipping a chip into the taco dip. A moment later, they heard voices. Chase and Abby had arrived, and Kristen was right behind them. They walked into the kitchen, and Chase immediately came and gave Lisa a hug, then grinned and grabbed a handful of the hot dogs and pastry.
Thanks for making these. He looked around the island at all the appetizers and laughed. You made all of our favorites.
Abby and Kristen looked confused. What is going on here? Abby asked.
Chase, you knew about this? Kristen asked.
I did it. At Mom's request, of course.
Did you know about this too?
Abby looked at Kate, who had a mouthful of taco dip. She shook her head and then nodded, swallowed, and finally spoke.
I just found out today. Pull up a chair. Mom has a plan. What can I get you all to drink? Lisa asked. Chase, there's beer in the fridge. Kristen, there's red and white. And Abby, I have your favorite Chardonnay, bread and butter.
Chase grabbed a beer, while Kristen poured herself a glass of red, and Abby sat and looked miserable.
I'll just have soda water if you have any.
Everyone looked at her in surprise, and she added, My stomach is a little off.
I think I have a bottle of orange-flavored seltzer. Is that good?
It's fine, thanks. Lisa found the beverage and handed it to her youngest daughter. Once everyone was settled with the drinks and had plates of food in front of them, Lisa filled them in. When she finished her story, there was a moment of silence, and then Chase spoke.
I think it's a great way for Mom to earn money.
But it's our house. Strangers will be staying in my bedroom. I hate the idea.
Abby pouted. Lisa was a little surprised at her reaction. She wasn't usually so emotional. I don't know how I feel about it either, to be honest.
Is it even safe for you?
Kristen asked.
It should be perfectly safe. That's why Chase put the walls up, so my living area is private from the rest of the house.
I thought it was strange at first, too, Kate admitted. But the more I think about it, the more I really like the idea. It seems perfect for Mom. She loves to cook and take care of people, and she has this huge house by the water that she's paying money to heat and not using all of it.
Thanks, honey.
Lisa looked around the table at all four of her children.
To be honest, I'm not entirely sure how I feel about it either. One minute I'm excited, the next I'm nervous. As you said, this is my house and strangers will be staying here. But at the same time, it feels right and like a new adventure.
She grinned and added, besides, I'm too old and unskilled to do anything else on this island. My options are limited. Kate stood and gave her a hug.
You are hardly old, but I do agree that your options are limited here.
It's not just you. I'd love to stay here year-round, but there are no newspaper or magazine jobs either. It's a beautiful place to live, but it's best if you're either rich or have some kind of business.
And now Mom will have that business. People will pay crazy money to stay on Nantucket,
Chase said. I can help you get ready, too, since I may be here for a while, Kate said. The others all looked at her, and she took a deep breath and explained.
I just got laid off, and I broke up with Dylan. Double whammy. So now I have no job and no place to live.
Kristen and Abby jumped up and hugged their sister, and when they finished, Chase stepped in and did the same. Lisa loved that her children were all so close.
That sucks that they laid you off right before Christmas, Kristen said.
The bastards, Chase said, and they all laughed.
It is lousy of them, Lisa agreed. Amanda said it wasn't personal, just business. She said it was a difficult decision, but I don't really think that it was. She's always been all business.
What happened with Dylan?
Abby asked.
It doesn't matter what happened, just that it's over, Lisa said quickly.
She sensed that Kate didn't want to talk about it. Kate shot her a grateful glance and then took a big sip of her wine.
He cheated on me. I had just been laid off, came home to curl up and go to sleep, and he was in our bed with one of his models.
Oh, no. Kate, I'm so sorry. Abby looked horrified. Lisa's heart went out to her daughter. What a truly horrific day she'd had.
She put her arm around Kate's shoulders and gave her a squeeze. I always thought you were too good for him, she said softly.
Kate's eyes misted over.
Thank you. To be honest, it was always in the back of my mind, something I'd worried might happen one day. He had a reputation, and he was too good-looking.
Hey now, not all good-looking guys are cheaters,
Chase said and flexed his muscles. They all laughed. Chase had a way of lightening the mood.
If you're serious, Kate, I really could use your help. I think I want to put a website up, and I'm not really sure where to start, Lisa admitted.
Kate perked up.
Oh, I could totally help with that. You'll need some brochures, too. I can write the copy, and we can get it up on the web, and maybe bring some brochures to distribute on the Cape. Lots of tourists decide to come to Nantucket after staying on the Cape.
That's a great idea. Lisa turned to her youngest daughter, who'd been very quiet and had barely touched her seltzer water.
How's your stomach, honey? Are you sure you don't want a glass of wine?
But Abby shook her head and sighed.
No, I'm actually not going to have any wine for a while.
I'm pregnant, and I told Jeff that I want a divorce.
Everyone stared at Abby in shock, except Kristen, Lisa noticed.
Congratulations on the baby, honey. That's fantastic news. But are you sure about divorce? How does Jeff feel about all this? He must be over the moon about the baby.
Abby was silent for a moment and then said, "He doesn't know about the baby."
"You didn't tell him?"
Even Kristen seemed shocked. Abby shook her head. "I'm not telling him for 3 months, until I know the baby is safe, that it's real. If we're going to work things out, I don't want it to be because of the baby."
"Do you want to stay here? You're welcome to."
Lisa was overjoyed that Abby was finally pregnant, but she felt terrible that they were considering divorce. She'd always loved Jeff like a son, and he and Abby had been together forever, it seemed.
"No, thank you. Jeff moved out yesterday. Besides, you need to rent my room out."
That stung.
"Honey, I'm sure all my rooms won't rent out immediately. It is winter, after all. The off-season."
"You might be surprised, Mom. It's not as busy, but people still come here,"
Chase said. Lisa laughed.
"Well, I hope you're right."
She turned back to Abby.
"Honey, we're here for you. Whatever you need. I really hope that you and Jeff can work things out."
"I do too."
After everyone was gone and Kate was in bed, Lisa stayed up, reading in her bedroom and reflecting on how the evening had gone. Somewhat better than expected, actually. She'd suspected that Abby would be the one most resistant to change, but she wondered if it was mostly just her being overly sensitive due to being pregnant. Lisa felt a mix of joy and concern for her youngest daughter. She knew how badly she'd wanted to get pregnant, but to even contemplate divorce and being a single mother, it was such a big decision and would be a huge lifestyle change. If what was wrong couldn't be fixed, then she'd fully support the divorce, of course, and try to help Abby as much as possible. She looked forward to babysitting and being a grandmother. But she hoped that Abby and Jeff could get past this speed bump in their marriage. Every marriage had its ups and downs. Though as newlyweds, you never expect it will happen to you.
Chapter 4.
The next morning, Lisa was up early, as usual, and had just settled at the kitchen island with her morning coffee and a bowl of oatmeal when Kate bounced into the room full of energy. Lisa smiled when she saw her.
"Good morning. You're up early."
Kate went straight to the Keurig coffee maker and popped in a K-cup of dark roast coffee.
"I slept like a baby. There's nothing like being home in my own bed. And it's so peaceful here. I left my curtains open and the morning sun woke me. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day."
When her coffee finished brewing, she added a splash of milk and joined Lisa at the island.
"What are your plans today?" Lisa asked her.
Kate laughed. "I have none. What are you doing? Can I help with anything?"
"I have to go downtown to do some grocery shopping. I thought I'd poke around the shops, too, and see if there are any good bargains. I'm not looking to spend much, but I feel like I need to decorate the upstairs bedrooms a little more. Any suggestions?"
"That's a great idea. I'd love to help. And I know exactly what you need."
"You do?"
"New bedding, good quality, all cotton white sheets, soft beachy colors for the bedspreads, and a few pretty throw pillows. We can check any estate or yard sales to see if there's anything interesting to hang on the wall."
I was wondering if I needed to get new bedding." "Definitely, and you don't have to spend much. We won't pay full price for anything."
Lisa laughed. "Nantucket prices are the worst." It was true. Some of the shops downtown were ridiculously expensive. One of Lisa's favorite shops to browse sold nothing but cashmere sweaters, and most were $800 and up.
"We'll be shopping for bargains and getting ideas. If we see things we like that we can't afford, we'll search for something similar online,"
Kate assured her. They headed to town an hour later and spent the morning mostly window shopping in dozens of stores. Their only purchases were five pretty dried starfish at a yard sale. They got them for next to nothing as the woman having the sale was moving off island and was getting rid of everything. These will look perfect upstairs. You can hang them on the doors right above the numbers. It will look awesome, Kate said. Lisa hadn't thought that she'd need to put numbers on the doors, but it made sense, and she agreed that the starfish would give a pretty welcoming look. After they finished shopping, Kate insisted on paying for lunch at Black Eyed Susan's, one of their favorite breakfast and lunch restaurants. After they ate, they went home, and Kate hopped on the internet. In minutes, she'd found bedding that was very similar to what they'd seen downtown, but it was on sale for a fraction of the cost, and the colors were pretty, too. They ordered sheets and cozy-looking bedspreads and soft sea shades, pale blues and greens. They found some pretty throw pillows, too.
There, that's done, Kate said after she clicked the button to confirm their order. What's next?
Lisa laughed. I'm not sure. I should make a list. She found a notebook and a pen, and she and Kate made a checklist of everything she needed to do before opening.
Do you need any kind of permit, or is this like Airbnb?
Kate asked.
Oh, I'm not sure. How does Airbnb work?
Lisa had heard of it, but never used it, as she rarely went off island.
Airbnb is great, actually. Dylan and I used it last spring when we went to Charleston for a long weekend. We found a great place in an old southern home. The owner had divided the building into 6 units. It was just like a bed and breakfast, but didn't have a sign, and it was much cheaper than a hotel.
Well, I don't want to be cheaper, necessarily.
No, I think on Nantucket, it might be better to go the opposite way and position your bed and breakfast as more high-end. Though, you could still use Airbnb to fill in gaps when you aren't rented.
That's an interesting idea. Have you thought about a name?
Lisa smiled.
I have, actually. I was thinking of the Beach Plum Cove Inn.
Kate looked enthused. Oh, that's perfect. And it tells visitors where you're located. That's always good for business. And as far as I know, there are no other bed and breakfasts in Beach Plum Cove. They are mostly all downtown or out in Sconset.
So that's a good thing, right?
Lisa thought it should be, but she also worried a bit that maybe there was a reason that there were no competing businesses in the area. Kate looked a bit concerned, too.
It could be awesome, as long as there are no restrictions against it. Nantucket can be funny like that.
I need to look into the process for getting a business license. Lisa knew that some new business licenses, such as restaurants or liquor stores, needed to be approved by a board of selectmen. She had a feeling that a bed and breakfast might fall into that category and mentioned it to Kate.
Well, if they say no, you could still Airbnb it, but it wouldn't be as lucrative. You wouldn't be able to have a website or put a sign up advertising the Beach Plum Inn.
How often does the board of selectmen meet? Kate asked.
The first Monday of every month, so the next meeting will be right after the new year.
Oh, that's good. We should be ready to go by then. I'm sure they'll approve you.
Kate was so confident. Lisa hoped that she was right. Kate had tried her best not to think about anything since she'd been back on Nantucket. She didn't want to think about Dylan or the job that she'd loved that had been yanked away from her. She knew that she had to think about what she was going to do next eventually, but for now she just wanted to sink into the familiar comfort of home, to walk along the beach, listen to the waves crash on the shore, and drink in the clean, salt air. She was enjoying spending time with her mother and helping her get ready for her new adventure. Kate had been skeptical at first, but the more she researched, the more excited she got about the idea. There was nothing else in the area, and it was one of the more desired spots on the island. Beach Plum Cove had the nicest beaches, and it was only a short drive or bike ride to downtown. And she'd had fun working on a website for her mother. Kate's technical skills weren't strong, but there were so many programs now that made building a website fairly easy. She made a simple one with lots of white space and pictures of the beach and the front of the house with its white shutters and inviting wraparound farmer's porch. Over glasses of wine one night, she and her mother discussed their ideas for how to present the Beach Plum Cove Inn and what they wanted potential visitors to know. They shared unique facts about the island and highlighted different events that happened throughout the year, such as the now famous film festival, wine events, daffodil weekend, and the Christmas stroll. Kate suggested talking up how peaceful and relaxing Nantucket was in the off-season when you didn't have to fight the crowds, and Lisa came up with the idea to name all the rooms and to have a theme for each, based on the decor. Kate's favorite room, which had been her own, was the Piping Plover, named for the tiny birds with toothpick-thin legs and cute round bodies. They were endangered, and the beaches were often closed or access restricted when the birds were nesting. The biggest room was the ACK room, named after the Nantucket Airport, and had several antique model planes and photos on the walls. It also had a leather armchair and a bit more of a masculine feel. Then there was the Figawi room, named after the world-famous race that happened every Memorial Day weekend, when sleek, expensive sailboats with full crews raced from Hyannis to Nantucket and back. Photos in this room were all boat-related, and there were also several wooden model boats that Kate's grandfather had painstakingly made and had cased in plexiglass to protect them. He'd loved boating and always owned a boat and built models as a hobby. Next was the Nantucket Red Room, with white bedding, blue and white pinstriped wallpaper, and cheery Nantucket Red curtains, the pinkish-red shade that was unique to Nantucket. Lastly, there was the Daffodil Room, which was a beautiful, cozy room that was designed to make a woman feel pampered. The colors were soft shades of yellow and pale blue, accented with white, and there was a gorgeous painting of Daffodil Weekend, with its array of yellow flowers and the famous parade of vintage vehicles and people enjoying their fancy tailgate picnics with champagne and filet mignon. Her mother had wanted to hold off renting out Kate's room, but Kate wouldn't hear of it. "Don't be silly. If someone wants to rent it, do it. I can crash on the sofa or go bother Kristen or even Abby. She might like the company, actually." Both Kate and her mother were worried about Abby. "We'll see. I'll rent the other rooms first. If anyone wants to rent them, that is. What if no one does?" She looked dismayed at the thought. "Of course they will. We can run some Facebook ads, too. I learned a little about that at the magazine. We can get really targeted with who we want to reach." Her mother looked both intrigued and intimidated by the idea. "That sounds lovely, but I wouldn't know where to begin with that." "I can look into it for you. And if you sign on with Airbnb, they get a small percentage, but in return, they send traffic your way." "Okay. I still need to figure out pricing. Chase made some suggestions, but they seemed much too high to me." Kate laughed. "Mom, Nantucket is ridiculously overpriced. If you don't price high, people will think there's something wrong. High pricing is part of the exclusivity factor." "I suppose you're right, but I don't want to price nice people out of coming either." Her mother was so not a business person. "Why don't you do some searching and see what some of the other bed and breakfasts are charging? The rates are going to vary quite a bit depending on location and time of the year, but you'll get an idea of what the going market rates are." "Right, I'll do that. I looked initially and was encouraged by what seemed possible, but I'll be more thorough about it. And I'll go with you to the Board of Selectmen meeting. Hopefully that's just a formality," Kate said. Her mother had found out that an official bed and breakfast business would need to be approved by the Board of Selectmen. They were considering approval of another business that night, too, a new restaurant that would be opening in Beach Plum Cove, which Kate was excited about. From what she read in the local paper, it was pretty much a done deal as the new owner of the property was an experienced restaurateur, and he was taking over a location that had been sitting empty for several years. It would be nice to have a good restaurant in their neighborhood again, and it would be a draw for the bed and breakfast, too, as it was within walking distance. Kate was about to head over to Abby's for coffee when she noticed her phone lighting up with several text messages in a row. The first two were from Dylan, begging her to call him. He'd left voice messages, too, apologizing profusely and asking her to give him another chance. She'd deleted the messages and had ignored the texts, but it was getting ridiculous. Ignoring him only seemed to make him more persistent. She sighed heavily and texted him back. "Dylan, I can't go back. I'm sorry, but this is a deal breaker for me. It's over. Please stop calling and texting." She clicked send and then read the next text message from Amanda. "Hope you're well. Merry Christmas. If you're interested, I have an intriguing feature I'd love to assign to you. Say the word and I'll email you all the details." Kate's first reaction was irritation as she remembered how awful it had felt to be laid off. But curiosity won out and she typed back, "I might be interested. Tell me more." The text came back almost immediately. "Sent. Check your email." Kate checked her email and was surprisingly impressed. The assignment seemed tailor-made for her. Amanda wanted her to do a feature on the coming year's Nantucket Film Festival, covering who would be there, how the event originated, and interviews with some of the founders and presenters, which included some famous filmmakers. Nantucket and Martha's Vineyard, the other island off the Cape, both attracted their share of celebrities that visited and owned properties, and the flat fee for the feature was more than generous. She didn't know how often Amanda might send freelance work like this her way, but if it was often enough, or if she was able to generate other freelance assignments, maybe she'd be able to stay longer on Nantucket. She quickly texted back to Amanda, "I'm in. Thanks for thinking of me. I'm actually here on Nantucket for a while." And the almost immediate reply back, "Great. I thought you might be." Lisa was caught up in the Christmas spirit and felt optimistic about the upcoming Board of Selectmen's meeting. She agreed with Kate that it just made sense that they'd be approved as well as the restaurant. On Christmas Eve, she held her traditional open house and all her children came, as well as her friends, Paige and Sue. The only person missing was Abby's husband, Jeff, and it seemed strange that he wasn't there, but Lisa was hopeful that it was the only year he'd miss. Abby seemed to be in good spirits, aside from the near constant morning sickness that often came with the first trimester. Lisa had it with all of her pregnancies, but assured Abby that once she was into her fourth month, it was so much easier. Kate had helped her to get ready and made a delicious light hummus from white beans, garlic, lemon, and parsley. They served it with fresh-cut veggies and pita chips. Sue brought baked scallops wrapped in bacon, and Paige brought several bottles of Prosecco, their traditional Christmas Eve bubbly wine. The star of the show was the fresh lobster casserole topped with crushed Ritz crackers and lots of butter. They also had shrimp cocktail, and Chase brought a tenderloin that he'd grilled. They ate and drank, and the conversation centered on the plans for the bed and breakfast. Everyone was excited about it now. And though they didn't usually exchange gifts on Christmas Eve, after they ate, Chase went to the Christmas tree where they'd all dropped off their gifts earlier and picked up a large box with a bright red ribbon. He brought it over to Lisa and set it on an empty stool.
"Mom, this is for you, from all of us, and we're excited for you to open it tonight."
"Are you sure?" Everyone stared at her expectantly.
"Just open it."
Chase grinned as she carefully tore off the wrapping paper. She had no idea what it was. And the bare cardboard box didn't give any clues. She carefully lifted the top of the box, and then her eyes immediately welled up.
Oh, Chase, it's beautiful. You made this?
It was a wooden sign, painted pale blue with white nautical rope trim and white letters that said, "The Beach Plum Inn."
It was actually a group effort. I cut the wood, Kate found the rope trim, Abby glued it on, and Kristen did the painting.
Lisa looked around at all four of her children.
Thank you. It's the best gift you could have possibly given me.
Now let's just hope you get approved,
Chase joked. They'd better approve you, Paige said. I'll be at the meeting.
I will too, Sue added.
We'll all be there to support you, Mom, Kate said.
When are you heading to Florida, Paige?
Lisa asked. Paige spent several months in Miami's South Beach every winter.
A few days after the meeting.
I can't wait. It's already getting much too cold here for my liking.
Paige was originally from Florida, and her parents still lived there. She hated the cold.
Kate, I heard you might be staying here for a while. Your mom said you're going to be writing about the film festival.
That sounds exciting,
Sue said. I'll be here for at least a few months, maybe longer, depending on if more work comes my way. Paige looked thoughtful for a moment.
Do you have somewhere lined up to stay once your mom opens for business?
Kate laughed. I'll probably be couch surfing, either on her living room sofa or crashing at Abby's. I'll figure something out. Paige set her nearly empty champagne glass down and smiled.
Well, I have a better idea. Why don't you stay at my place? It's going to be empty until the end of April, and I'd love to have someone there to check the mail and keep an eye on the place.
Really?
That would be perfect.
Kate looked thrilled, and Lisa thought it was a great idea, too. Paige lived just a mile away.
Great! It's a done deal. Let's toast to it.
Paige lifted her glass of Prosecco, and they all did the same.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Chapter 5.
Kate felt a sense of childlike wonder when she woke Christmas morning to see a thin blanket of fluffy white snow on the ground and snow swirling and twisting outside her window. The weather reports had predicted flurries, and it wasn't supposed to amount to much, but it was fun and festive to watch. She slowly made her way downstairs. Her mother was already in the kitchen, baking the cinnamon walnut coffee cake that they had every Christmas morning. The rich smell of butter and sugar was in the air when Kate walked into the room. She made herself a cup of coffee and settled at the island, watching her mother work. She felt a little guilty just sitting there.
"Can I do anything to help?"
she asked, though she already knew what her mother's answer would be.
"I think I'm all set, honey. The cake is almost done, and there's really not much else to do. I made the green beans yesterday. The roast just needs to go into the oven along with the baked potatoes. The only thing I have left is to make the popovers, and I'll do that right before the roast is done."
Every Christmas, they always had the same meal, prime rib, though Kate's favorite thing was the Yorkshire pudding popovers. They were light and airy and melted in her mouth.
"Why don't you sit down and join me then? Have a cup of coffee and relax."
"I think I will."
While her mother was making a cup of coffee, Kate opened her laptop and brought up the Airbnb listing she was finalizing. When her mother sat down, she turned the laptop so that she could see.
"Tell me what you think of this."
"Oh, you put the listing up already?"
"No, it's not live yet, not until you give me the okay."
"Oh, good. You scared me there for a minute."
Kate waited while her mother looked over the ad. Kate thought she'd done a good job on it. She'd taken pictures of all the rooms, fully decorated and with their new bedding. She'd waited until the light was just right to capture the beauty of the ocean views and sunshine. The rooms looked elegant and inviting.
"You've done a wonderful job, thank you. We should wait until after the Board of Selectmen's meeting, though, shouldn't we?"
The meeting was just over a week away. I say we put it up now with the first date available a week from yesterday, so you might get some last-minute visitors for New Year's Eve weekend. Her mother looked hesitant, and Kate knew what was worrying her. It won't affect your chances with the Board of Selectmen. As long as you don't put the sign up until you get approval, you're fine. Anyone can use Airbnb to rent out rooms. It might even help if you say you've rented some already. I suppose it wouldn't hurt to see if there's any interest. Kate smiled. Great, then all that's left to do is hit the button. She pressed submit. And now it's done. You're officially in business. Her mother took a slow sip of coffee. She looked thoughtful as she set her cup down. Wouldn't it be something if I'm able to rent out a room before then? It's probably doubtful this time of year, I would imagine. You never know. Lots of people on the Cape might want to get away for a long weekend, but not go too far. Nantucket is perfect. Chase, Kristen, and Abby arrived around 10, and they all had coffee cake before exchanging gifts. They'd agreed to not go overboard this year and to just get one gift each, as no one really needed anything. Everyone laughed when Kate and Kristen opened the gifts they'd gotten each other and saw that it was the exact same sweater. Kate had bought a white one for Kristen, and she'd bought it in black for Kate. They had similar taste in clothes, but usually Kate would buy a sweater for Kristen and get one for herself, too. It was kind of a running joke in the family. They had a lovely, relaxing day, and after eating their big meal and helping their mother to clean up, Kate, Kristen, and Abby decided to go for a walk on the beach. The snow flurries had finally stopped, and the ocean breezes had blown the light dusting of snow off the beach. "Mom, are you sure you don't want to come with us?" Abby asked as they put on their coats and boots. "No, I'm going to make a cup of tea and watch It's a Wonderful Life with Chase," another of their holiday traditions. "We won't be gone long. We'll join you when we get back," Kate said. It was cold, but the air had stilled and the sun was shining as they walked down the long boardwalk to the beach. They decided to walk along the beach to the lighthouse, which was about a mile away. It was a good walk, and Kate figured it would give them time to talk. She was worried about Abby. She'd been quiet and withdrawn since telling them that she was pregnant and thinking of getting divorced. "How are you really doing?" Kate asked her as they walked. "I'm okay. Hanging in there. It's harder than I thought it would be, not having Jeff in the house, especially at Christmas. He called this morning and I agreed to see him tonight. He's going to stop by after he has dinner with his family." "Are you exchanging gifts?" Kristen asked. Abby nodded. "He said he has something for me, and I'd already bought his weeks ago." "Are you ready to take him back?" Kate asked. She imagined it must be hard to exchange gifts and then go their separate ways. But Abby shook her head. "No, I'm not ready. I need time. A lot of time, I think. It's barely been a week. And the holidays are so full of emotion, it's not normal everyday feelings. If I took him back now, I don't think anything would change." "I don't think he gets it yet," she sighed as they continued to walk. "Have you considered counseling?" Kristen asked. "I hadn't, but Jeff asked me that this morning too, and I said that I'd be open to it. It can't hurt, I suppose. It might be a really good thing to help you communicate better about what's really bothering you and maybe come up with a solution that works for both of you." Kate thought counseling might be a step in the right direction. She liked Jeff too, and it had felt strange that he wasn't with their family for Christmas. "How are things going with Sean?" Abby asked Kristen. "No change. He's still at his ex's house today for Christmas dinner with their son, Julian." "He still spends a lot of time with his ex. Any updates on when his divorce will be finalized?" Kate asked. Kristen laughed. "As far as I know, he hasn't even filed yet.
They're still just separated. Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought you guys were getting more serious. Yeah, well, it's complicated, I guess.
Kristen sounded like she didn't really want to say more than that, so Kate changed the subject and told them about the Airbnb listing.
I'll show it to you when we get back. It'll be interesting to see if she gets any bites. I don't really know what to expect this time of year.
I still think it's a strange idea. I know Mom needs to make money somehow, and I know it's selfish of me, but I don't like it,
Abby admitted.
I've warmed up to the idea. I agree, it will be strange, at least at first, but I think it might be good for her, Kate said.
They reached the lighthouse and turned around. Kate was glad for the walk, and it was fun chatting with her sisters. They both caught her up on all the island gossip.
So when do you start your freelance assignment? Kristen asked.
The film festival sounds like a fun thing to write about.
I have a meeting on Monday, actually.
I'm interviewing Philippe Gaston.
The Philippe Gaston? He's on the island already?
Abby asked.
He bought a place a few years ago and spends most of his time here when he's not flying to LA or somewhere for a filming project.
He belongs to the same country club that Sean does, Kristen said.
He says he's a great golfer.
Where does he live?
Abby asked.
He has a beach house in Sconset. That's where I'm meeting him.
I'm curious to see what it's like, Kate admitted.
Sconset, short for Sea of Sconset, was one of the most exclusive areas on Nantucket.
Is he still married to that actress? Kristen asked.
I'm not sure. I thought I read that they were getting divorced, but that was a while ago.
He's hot, like seriously, ridiculously handsome. Maybe he'll help you get over Dylan,
Abby grinned.
But Kate laughed at the idea of it.
That's the last thing I'm looking for. From what I've read, he's another Dylan type, and I don't need that.
I am looking forward to talking to him, though. He's enormously talented.
Philippe was a New York Times best-selling author turned film producer, and more recently, he'd been creating a TV drama series for Netflix. She knew he'd started his career in journalism, too, and she was curious to learn how he made the transition. A secret dream of hers was to write a novel, and she was thinking she could get started on it while she was on Nantucket for the winter. But a part of her was terrified of the idea, too. Terrified of failure. When they reached the house, the snow was beginning to fall softly again. Once they were inside and settled around the kitchen island with cups of hot cinnamon tea all around, Kate opened her laptop to show her sisters the listing on Airbnb. She was shocked to see that she had an email alert already.
Mom, we have our first reservation, she called out.
We do?
Her mother paused the movie and joined them in the kitchen.
Rhett Byrne is arriving New Year's Eve and has booked a full week, Kate announced excitedly.
Well, isn't that something?
Kate was annoyed to find herself feeling a bit nervous as she drove down the long, winding driveway that led to Philippe Gaston's oceanfront home. There was nothing overly intimidating about the house. It was lovely, with huge windows that overlooked the water. And it wasn't too big, unlike most of the homes on this street. She parked out front, as he'd requested, and gathered her tote bag with her notebook and voice recorder. She always liked to record her interviews whenever possible, so she didn't have to worry about missing anything. She knew that she was nervous because she was such a fan of his work, more than the fact that he was ridiculously handsome. She was pretty sure that Dylan had cured her of falling for someone like him. She slowly walked to the front door and rang the bell. A moment later, a slightly overweight guy about her age opened the door.